Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. My name is Mark, and...
Are we starting?
Yeah, we're starting. My name is Mark, and once again, I am joined by Miles. Hi, Miles. Miles, we started. Hey. You could say... No, don't talk when I talk.
Okay.
I'm also joined by Jackie. Hi, Jackie.
Miles okay. is the worst.
Miles is the worst. I will admit I was expecting at that time and I leaned into it. I thought it was fun. We're a podcast that typically talks about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the TV anime from David Productions, started in 2012. But I say typically because we don't do that now, because we covered all of the anime, and you can find all of our episodes on anchor.fm/JJBpod. So these days, while we pray for JoJo Part 6, Stone Ocean, to receive an anime adaptation, we've been covering different anime that we've been interested in, and our followers and Patreon donors have recommended to us. So this week, we are covering Flip Flappers. This is an anime that can be watched on VRV. So if you're like, I have VRV, you can just pause this podcast right now and go listen. We'll be here when you get back. We watched episodes 1, 2, 3, and 6 of Flip Flappers, a name I plan on saying many times on this podcast.
Flip Flappers.
But before we get into talking about the four episodes of Flip Flappers that we watched, we're going to take a little stop in Correspondence Corner, or in this case, it's not...
Mouth flappers.
Well, okay. I was trying to figure out a pure illusion thing to get to take a locale from the anime we watched. But Correspondence
Illusion
Corner.
Illusion Island.
What is it, Islet?
Illusion Island.
No, those
Illusion
are just...
Isla.
No, those are just two different locales. You need to work like correspondence or conversation into it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think we're finding out that English doesn't really have any... talk or communication words that start with I, but we could use a different vowel, like assembly, pure assembly illusion. Okay, we got emails sent to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com, as we do most weeks.
This isn't our first time doing this. We've done plenty of episodes.
This is our very first podcast. Is this thing on? This first email comes to us from David, and it's called Welcome to the World Source. Hello, JJB Pod crew. Many episodes ago, Mark said that the Part 2 OST, Welcome to the World, sounds like another song he knows, but I forgot which one. May you please repeat it? I don't remember that. Part 2 OST, Welcome to the World. Which, that's a JoJo thing? I gotta find this song now.
We got to just play it and then see what it reminds you of now.
I should remind people that this is our first podcast.
You've never done this before.
So, you know, we should have read the emails like any veteran podcaster would have done. You'd read the emails first and then you start podcasting. But
yeah,
so don't worry.
Be prepared. Yeah.
I found a YouTube video and it's not going to play an ad. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it... Yeah, okay, Welcome to the World intentionally sounds like Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes in the beginning there. That durner. Ready? Like, it's pretty much just a complete ripoff.
You don't know if that was it, though.
Well, that was the song.
But you haven't heard the whole song.
Well, maybe there was a different part, but... Ready?
It's the same.
Yeah. That's the original. But yeah, maybe later in the song. You always live your life.
You always live your life.
It's possible that later in this JoJo Welcome to the World song, I noticed something else, but I don't think we need to watch me listen to it for 3.5 minutes. If you recognize...
Yeah, you've made your point.
Yeah. David's email continues. If you recognize any other similarities for JoJo OSTs, please tell me. I really love all of your, the upbeat OSTs by Taku Iwasaki, who is the composer of the JoJo OSTs, excluding the openings and endings, which I also love. That's right, Miles. I think openings and endings are very important. Most of them are bops, and some are even bangers. By the way, did you know that Giorno is Lisa Lisa's brother-in-law? And that means he is Joseph's uncle, kind of like how Josuke is Jotaro's uncle. And this may be pretty obvious, but no one ever comments how Shizuka Joestar is Josuke's sister-in-law. Can you think of any other strange family connections in the Joestar family? Thanks, David. P.S. I can never truly be horny because these things keep happening, and there are several memes, but I will not describe them because, oh boy, one, describing memes on an audio medium seems silly, but what the fuck is that? I don't understand youth culture. I don't understand memes.
Young kids these days.
They're just pictures with words that I you know, you could be like, oh, these are bot generated. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to need to spend a few hours studying. Does anyone have a video essay on how memes work? Thanks for the email, David.
Mark, I don't understand. How is Giorno Lisa Lisa's brother-in-law?
Well, if you think about it, so Giorno, I don't know. I have not thought about it. Trying to do it right now. Okay, check this shit out. Lisa Lisa is Joseph's mom.
Uh-huh.
Spoilers for part two. Joseph's Joseph's grandfather's son is Giorno.
In order to be a brother-in-law, somebody needs to be married to someone else. And Giorno's not married, and Lisa Lisa, we don't know anything about her husband.
Is that true?
Yeah, what's a brother-in-law? A brother-in-law is
No, do we not know anything about Lisa Lisa's...
We don't really know anything.
We must sound so dumb.
Because a brother-in-law is either your sister's husband or, well, I guess either gender, it doesn't matter, your sibling's husband or your spouse's sibling.
I'm going to pull up a JoJo family tree and then I'm going to...
I'm looking at one right now.
Take some pills for a headache. You do or don't? What'd you say, Miles?
I do not.
I do now.
I'm looking at a family tree now. I just don't get it.
Maybe this is a spoiler for something in the future. Somebody needs to be married to someone. That's how the in-law thing works. The whole thing with in-laws is it's a through marriage thing. Like you're related through marriage, but not through blood.
Correct. But I'm trying to remember, is Lisa Lisa, like, don't we know? Is Lisa Lisa married into the family? Isn't she?
No, she is the daughter of, isn't she?
I don't think so. I think she marries George, who is Jonathan's son, because she was not adopted, but saved on the boat, I think.
Oh, she was adopted on the boat.
People listening are screaming right now.
Yeah.
Elizabeth.
This podcast is about JoJo's.
Was a baby who was with her mother on the boat, attacked by Dio. Jonathan saved her and handed her over to Irina to keep her safe. Bah, 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 bah. So, yeah. Yeah, so Elizabeth, Lisa Lisa, was adopted by Straitso. And, yes, so she's married George II, and so they had a child, Joseph. Oh, okay, so Joseph... Wait, his brother is not Giorno. Yeah. I mean, it's his uncle, technically, right? Because his like, half-uncle...
Why?
Because Dio had a son using Jonathan's body. So she's like his step half niece.
I see.
Like step half niece.
So Giorno, because he's the son of Lisa Lisa's father-in-law. Right?
They're both
Yes.
They're both direct
Giorno
descendants.
Giorno is the son of Lisa Lisa's
Also, Miles, don't look at a JoJo family tree. I just realized.
Okay, well, Giorno is the son of Dio.
Yep.
Also Jonathan. And Elizabeth is the daughter-in-law of Jonathan.
Right.
Is that correct? So then they are brother-in-law and sister-in-law.
Well, I was today years old when I discovered. Yes, it makes sense. It makes sense to me now.
It doesn't to me yet. I'll need to see it visually because...
You're a visual person.
I'm a visual person, which means I am dumb baby brain and I need crayons to understand a concept. But I mean, you know, I also have trouble doing this in my own family. Jackie has seen this.
Okay.
You know, I don't have any first cousins. Jonathan, so anytime I have cousins, I have to fucking stop and be like, all right, how are we related?
Yeah.
Let's figure it out. Is it half or is it once removed? No. Is it first cousin, second cousin, or once removed, twice removed, all that shit? I don't remember the difference. I learn it every now and then I forget it. So I'm just going to take your word for it, David.
No, it makes sense. Take our word for it.
All right. They agree. I take your word over theirs.
What?
Yes. Oh, boy.
What's up, Miles?
Okay, fine. So just think of it as like they're both offspring. Giorno is the offspring of... Giorno and George Joestar are offspring of Jonathan's body, and Elizabeth is married to George.
Oh, okay. Wait. But... Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Because she's married to George. I'm confusing her with being on Joseph's generation when she's not. She's his mommy. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am cutting out the last 40 minutes of this podcast.
No. We haven't even been potting for 40 minutes.
I know.
This email is from Brock. Subject line is howdy. Hello.
Howdy.
Hello, JJB Pod crew. First time I emailed a podcast before, so sorry if I get anything wrong. You're doing great. I've only listened for a little while, but the pod has made the late night at the graveyard shift go by faster. Anyhoot, I was recently listening to the Ghost in the Shell episode, and I thought I'd recommend some more Mamoru Oshii stuff. First anime I'd like to recommend is the Pat Labor.
I think people say Pat Labor.
Pat Labor. Specifically the first and second ones, even more so the second. However, the slight problem with starting with the movie is that they don't really develop the characters and are more plot focused, unlike the 7-episode OVA that came beforehand. The second is Angel's Egg, if you want to go full artsy fartsy. That's about
it.
I've attached a picture of my cat to incentivize you guys to read this. Sincerely, Brock. Thank you, Brock. Thanks for this cat. He's in a sink. He or she is in the sink.
It's a cat in the sink, and the Snapchat caption is, "What the hell, man?" I don't know if Brock is giving a voice to the cat looking at the camera pissed off, or if that is Brock's reaction to the cat being in the sink.
The cat's like, I fit
here. Have you noticed?
Yeah. What's up?
Did you notice Brock spells incentivize with an S?
Ugh, deleting this.
Oh, I can't.
Where are all these these Brit scums are just coming out of the woodwork.
They're nice. They write to us. They're nice.
Could be Canadian.
Could be anything really, because if you just go to a school or learn a language from the British or Canadian side, then you're going to take on all those S's.
Mm.
Still.
I've never heard of any of these anime. Any of Angel's Egg and Pat Labor.
I've definitely heard of Emotional Pat Labor. I have never heard of
Angel's Egg. But if it's, I'm interested in artsy fartsy anime that sounds appealing to me.
That does sound cool. Angel's Egg is like an upsetting combo of words for me personally.
Angels are kind of like people birds, you know, because they have they have wings.
Okay.
So maybe they lay eggs.
Do you think anyone has drawn? Or should I draw like Gabriel blowing his trumpet before the apocalypse, but also laying an egg at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, I should draw that, or someone has.
Someone
should.
Has.
Oof.
Both.
Wow, we got a real split decision here over the most disgusting thing I've ever thought of.
Just as he blows,
yeah,
there goes the egg. No, boys can't lay eggs, right? Boys can't lay eggs.
They cannot.
So he wouldn't, you can't draw that.
I know that seahorse men, male seahorsemen carry babies, but I don't think they lay eggs.
I think eggs are inherently, I don't know, biologically a female thing.
In my head, platypuses are men, but I guess that's not true.
They're all men.
Yeah. I don't know why. Anyway. Miles, you got the next one?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that egg, I guess. This email is from Peach. The subject is subject. Hey, JGB Pod crew, it's Peach again. I know I'm probably exhausting you guys, but I find much joy in asking you weekly questions, so I'm going to keep writing in. Fine. All I have for you today is a question and a suggestion. This week's question is, what are some of your favorite anime duos? My phone tried to correct that to Dios or trios. I'm going to throw in a quick additional question here and ask specifically what some of your favorite JoJo duos or trios are. My favorite duo would probably be Josuke and Okuyasu, and my favorite trio is from Part 6, so I won't spoil it. Thank you. My favorite non-JoJo anime duo actually ties into my anime suggestion, and that duo would be Isaac Deanne and Miria Harvent from Bakano. I'm actually really happy that David brought up the show last week because I had literally just finished watching it. It's a really fantastic 13-episode series, 16 if you count the DVD exclusives, about the 1930s, immortality, gangsters, and train heists. Plus, the opening song is one of my new all-time favorites and may or may not have been the reason why I watched the show in the first place. What can I say? I love me some jazz. If you do give it a watch, I would watch the first few episodes because, as David said, it does skip around a lot. But the storytelling works in a way where it's definitely necessary to watch in order. Anyways, that's all. Have a great week. P.S. If you haven't already, try your hand at a Maryland impression. I'd like to see what y'all think we sound like. P.P.S. I would say I'm horny, but honestly, I'm tired. I'm so tired. And Peach attached a meme.
Yes, this meme, I will say... I
don't know. Everyone sent us memes!
I did not... I've never heard of this trope, but it basically relies on... evidently, from the PS2 JoJo game... Well, there's two of them, but the Golden Wind PlayStation 2 JoJo game... Guido Mista looks just awful. And it has a screenshot of him. Tired of crying, tired of crying, tired of smiling.
Jesus, he's a hot boy.
Mista, yeah, he normally is like the best looking of the squad from Part 5. But here, I mean, I guess we haven't seen the rest of them, but he looks bad. He does not look good. It's a very fat arrow on his like helmet. So thanks for that. Now I've learned something about the PlayStation 2 Golden Wind game that I didn't know before. It's funny, part of me was like, I don't know that we should keep going back and forth with emailers, because then I wonder if people listening are like, oh, this just feels like it's all a bunch of inside jokes and people who know each other. But it's also the off season, so like, who gives a fuck?
You know what? I don't know. Our listeners, they like us. They listen to us. We don't have any JoJo content and they're still here, so we can do whatever we want.
Everyone should just be enjoying this very loose time.
If you don't like it, then you write into us and then we'll make jokes with you.
Hey, I don't know that anyone is feeling that. I just speculate. And so we don't need to yell at these imaginary people. They're in my head.
All right. Mark, if you don't like it, you can write into the podcast.
I do. Here's an email. Hi, it's me, Mark. You.
So we have to answer questions.
Yeah, when JoJo's is back out, we're going... all back to only strictly business. Every email we will glean three words from, and then we will shit on your sentiment no matter what it is. And then we will spend 90 minutes talking about the weekly JoJo episode in a very academic, dry, humorless way.
So what are your favorite duos, Miles?
My favorite duos are...
If so you need a minute.
Like, do they have to be on the same side? Can I say like Jonathan and Dio?
I think that's fair. I mean, yeah, and they grew up together. So like in a way they were on a side. I think that works.
Yeah, because I wouldn't choose any. Oh, no.
I like...
maybe... I don't know.
who's the guy with the weirdest face who has the fishing rod stand, who's such a mamone in Part 5 and he's got like the mentor older brother... guy, he's like kind of abusive, but they're also kind of mentor mentee. I like them. I also like Okuyasu Josuke in part 4. Do you have to agree? There's a duo in part 7 I really like.
We can't talk about that.
It's Pesci.
Thank you. Pesci and the other person. Who I don't think is... No, not Formaggio. Somebody else. Some other asshole. Those two are good.
It's,
I like
Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei.
Oh, wow. My stand Vinny. I like Doppio and Diavolo. I like them too.
Oh, they're great. That's the best duo. I also like Joseph and who was the Italian boy?
Caesar.
Joseph and Caesar, I think they're good together.
Yeah.
They're a good duo. I don't know. Also non-JoJo, because Peach also asked about non-JoJo. I think Sailor Neptune and Sailor Uranus are the best because they're so different, but they work really well together, and they're very cute, and they love each other. And that's all you need.
They love each other because they are cousins.
No, they're not cousins.
They're related.
No, they're not.
For anybody
who
doesn't know,
they are in love.
They were gay women characters in the Japanese
anime. Sailor Moon.
And then when they came to America, I guess like Americans panicked over our stupid puritanical look on romance. And we're like, they're cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really weird because...
They're not cousins.
The way they act to each other is not like a family romance kind of thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't...
They're clearly
again,
a couple.
I do not have any first cousins, so I don't know how much making out usually happens.
Women generally have closer physical relationships, even if you're just like friends, but not dating. There's a difference.
Okay. It's good to know that lines should be drawn.
Like you can hold hands with like your girl cousin or something.
Right.
Or you
if
can
you're,
like,
if you're a
or
flip,
you can like lock arms or something.
If you're a flip and the other is a flapper, you can touch each other's inner thighs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little sneak peek mm-hmm. for this anime we're covering this week. Anyway, our last email I should get through. It's from Chad.
Chad.
And it's called Flipping the Flap Out. Aloha, JJB Pod crew. I decided to watch straight through the first 6 episodes of Flip Flappers, and having approached it with zero previous knowledge, ended up liking it. Since you all skipped episodes 4 and 5, I need to tell you that you should definitely go back and watch episode 5. Episode 5 of Flip Flappers is a sort of horror-themed episode with a nice balance of the usual action and humor with a healthy dose of scary stuff. It made me want to go look for the game-based horror anime Corpse Party, and also made me want to play Doki Doki Literature Club, both worth checking out if you like horror. Lastly, as I'm writing this, Oahu, the island I live on, along with the most of the population from Hawaii, is hours away from a meetup with Hurricane Douglas. I really hope nothing too bad happens, but I'm okay if he makes it so I don't have to go into work first thing Monday. Also, you Mahjong fanatics should go check out the OVA Legend of Koizumi. It's silly and a little dated, but hilarious too. Mahalo, Chad. P.S. Poppyka from Flip Flappers wears flip-flops with her school outfit, seen in the intro mostly. In Hawaii, flip-flops are called slippers, and it is a known fact among those that grew up here that placing your slippers on your hands lets you run faster. Also seen in the intro.
Interesting.
What?
I guess like if you take your shoes off, take your flip-flops off so you can run, you know?
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Because that's what I did. You can't really run in
flip-flops.
But
you don't, like, place them on your hands.
I don't know, man.
You don't take your shoes off and go, one is going to go in one hand, and the other is going to go in the other hand.
Maybe you do a handstand. You try to run with
no.
Your
I don't remember the intro enough to
yeah, I don't either.
See how facetious Chad is being here, but I imagine it's greater than zero. Yeah, Corpse Party, I remember being a thing. I played... A different like indie RPG maker thing. I want to say it was called like Ib.
Oh, Ib. You like Ib.
Ib. Ib was good. Yeah. I enjoyed that. Corpse Party was a thing. I didn't know it got an anime out of
it. I can't play Ib.
Why not?
I couldn't do it.
Did you play Yume Nikki?
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Yume
Nikki. I really like Yume Nikki a lot.
Yume, like I can't figure out where to go or what to do and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, that's,
never mind.
That's
I give
par
up.
For the course. It's really,
I don't like it.
It's a very good indie.
I want to know where to go.
Quote unquote game. And Doki Doki Literature Club, I have not played, but I know all about. I've heard walkthroughs and seen stuff. It looks pretty great.
Stay safe, Chad. I hope the hurricane didn't eat you, and I hope that you get a day off from work. You deserve it.
Yeah.
I hope everything's fine.
Hopefully the damage is minimal and you get a day off.
Yeah,
anyway.
It needs to be, everything is fine, but it's like kind of bad enough that you don't have to go into work.
Yeah, I would hope that if everyone is stressed out and like batting down the hatches for a hurricane, I feel like your job should just be like, don't come in Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just chill.
Everybody go clean up the trees that fell in your yard.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Hopefully. I mean, hopefully that's the least.
I think it's batten.
Yeah, batten down the hatches. Batter down, which sounds like you're going to deep fry yourself to avoid hurricane, which kind of works. Anyway, those were emails sent to us, which I never know how to fucking join these thoughts together. Those were emails sent to our email, jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. See, there we go. I just got rid of any tread of any attempt at
this
transition.
This is a good podcast.
Don't worry. This is the rough. There's a fourth person who cleans it up and makes it seamless. Hey, if you like what you've heard so far, that's weird. But if you like what you hear after this, please note that we have a Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/JJBpod and kick in a few bucks a month to help us cover our expenses as a podcast. And we have a special tier where for $20, which you only have to do once, I don't expect anyone to make a monthly $20 commitment to us unless you have money to burn, unless you're balling out hardcore. But for $20, we will watch an anime of your choosing, which is actually how we got to Flip Flappers this week.
Yeah. Who recommended that one?
This one was, it's not even a recommendation.
They
paid for. It's a mandate.
Uh-huh.
It's an employment agreement.
It's a job. It's a gig.
Nick recommended this one. Yeah.
Thanks, Nick.
And that's why we're doing 1, 2, 3, and 6. That was Nick's suggestion. And I agree that 6 worked as a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
Because this show doesn't really have a ton of context between it anyway.
Yeah.
Joining the Patreon for any monthly commitment gets you access to Miles's weekly newsletter, in which he explains or links to any of the various pop culture references that we make on the pod that have nothing to do with JoJo's. This is, I think, really designed around all of the people who aren't ancient dinosaur aged people like us, and so they don't understand when we reference Fleetwood Mac. Also, so you can just get in that for $1. That's all you got to pay is $1. For $3, you will get our personal thanks out loud like this. Thank you, Austin, Celeste, Chad, Caden, Kevin, Michael, Tim, and Tyler. And you know what? Also, thank Nick, Martin, and Josh, who have been in the High Roller $20 tier and helping us figure out what anime to watch. Because if we're like, I don't know if I want to watch that, and someone's just like, here's money, watch this thing and talk about it, that makes our lives easier on many levels. Anyway, should
especially
we take...
Especially the money.
Especially that one. But it is also good to not have to make decisions. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good night.
All right. We're back. Again, I don't know how you wouldn't know, but we mentioned that we watched Flip Flappers this week. And so now we will talk about episodes 1, 2, 3, and 6. Flip Flappers is a 2016...
Why is it called that?
Because you flip and you flap. Is a 2016 anime series that was animated by Studio 3 Hertz, if that's how you say that. And only ran for 13 episodes. It was just a single season or single series, whatever you want to call it, that aired between October and December of that year. And it feels very, I don't know what else to say about it generally. It is a show about a middle school girl who is just sort of, for like very, very briefly, not even half the first episode, living a normal life.
Where she is studying really hard. She wants to get into a good high school, I guess.
Yeah.
And she just seems like a normal, smart, responsible like good kid.
Right. And in parallel, we see this like shadowy sci-fi looking organization.
Well, it's not just, I mean, it's her. She's there's two main characters. It's her and Papika. Yes. Her name is Kokona.
Yes. Kokona is this responsible, study hard middle school girl.
Right. And then we have Papika, who is a wild and crazy, I don't know where she's from, like alien robot. Like, I don't know where she's from. I don't know what her deal is, but she deals in some kind of sci-fi, trippy wonderland kind of.
She's some kind of agent.
She's the white rabbit that leads Alice down the rabbit hole.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's more metaphorical. In this case, she just looks like she's some kind of secret agent.
Yeah.
Who's like escaping a facility, and they're like, no, don't leave. And she takes a, like, what looks like a, I don't know if that's a surfboard. It's just like a big boogie board that she just rides in the air out of the facility. And we eventually see her. I don't remember how they meet exactly. Does she smack into her?
There's not really an introduction to her. They just meet. They just meet and they go on an adventure together and then they love each other.
I don't. That's, well, maybe.
Now they're partners and they love each other and that's it. It's like episode one. It just, everything happens so fast. Like the relationship doesn't really develop. They just immediately are like a partnership.
Right. And so the show is about, you know, these two different people. One who's like sort of wild and crazy kids. And from some other organization that might be in a different dimension, I don't know, and this sort of regular grounded down to earth middle schooler, and together they go on these operations to retrieve crystals, I think crystal shards that will help, that will grant wishes. So pretty basic stuff, but you know, in terms of their goal, I'm sure there's a lot more to it that we'll find out.
It just seems like a lot is happening around us and we only see a part of it as we watch.
For sure.
And it kind of jumps you right into it. Like you don't really get the context.
No one stops to do exposition.
Yeah. Right.
Not even the thing that bugged me the first episode is that Kokona doesn't even stop to go, what is this place?
Yeah.
Why do you, because at first too, she doesn't go with her on the adventure immediately. The girl keeps like following her and being really annoying and just like repeating her name a lot. Mm-hmm. And then she like drags her into this other dimension.
They repeat each other's names a lot.
A lot.
Because they love each other.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. This whole show is a lot.
I have to think that Kokona's name is like a reference to coconuts.
Yeah.
Coconuts. And then Papika would just be paprika. Because there is also a character named Salt.
Yeah.
And beyond that, I don't really know too many other foods.
So full of flavor.
Yeah, there's a lot of flavor. So this show, I don't know about you two, but it kind of feels like a Trigger anime, a Trigger Studios anime, like Kill la Kill or Furi Kuri, where it is gorgeously animated.
I love the animation.
Yeah. It uses multiple styles. It has, overt sexuality. And it doesn't spend a lot of time. It doesn't feel grounded in reality because it just sort of goes. It's just
like a dream.
Look at these cool. Yeah, it doesn't feel like something that you could see happening in a live action sense or imagine turning a corner and seeing anything from, you know, it doesn't. I don't know how to describe it. It doesn't feel like it slowly takes you into a fantastic world that they then justify. They're like, no, this is fun. Animation is a fun way to, you know, tell a story. And so it's more, I don't know. I don't want to say like aesthetics over plot, because you could tell a story this way, but it is very confusing at first because you're just like, wait, who is this? And what are they doing?
Mm-hmm. And the episodes don't, there's no like plot continuation. It feels like it's like every episode feels like a brand new thing and there isn't really a reference to previous episodes. So it kind of reminds me of like Western cartoons, because they're kind of like that, where it's just like, you know, like each episode on a Cartoon Network show is like, you know, the characters, they have a different situation right now, you know,
and every week is a mission or monster of the week.
Right. And this show so far, what we've seen, it feels uncharacteristic for anime in that there's no continuous plot, I think.
I mean, I think one does kind of start to shape up. We saw hints of it in later episodes, because I think that is more of a thing where, like, the shows overall will have a through line.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think animes do have it where there's, like, each week is a mission. Each week is, like, a separate kind of thing.
But there's more explanation of, like, what's going on and who the characters are.
Well, that's the thing, is these first two or three episodes, you're, like, waiting for them to stop in the organization, by the way, which is called Flip Flap or Flip Flappers. I think Flip Flap. Yeah, that wasn't clear, right? But then, like, I read it on one of the Wikipedias and was like, oh, you wait for them to stop and be like, listen, we are Flip Flap.
Yeah.
We were set up by the United Nations after the bombing of the Statue of Liberty. And we want to get a crystal that grants wishes. They do communicate that they want to get a crystal that grants wishes.
In order to what, though? Because, like, I don't know. If you want a crystal that grants wishes, like, I want to know what kind of crazy wish are you trying to... Because it could be, like, maybe they're trying to destroy the world. We don't know.
What if they ask Salt and he's like, if I had one wish, it would be more wishes. Duh.
No, he's like, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl look good. I would call her. What?
You're out of wishes.
But you get all the shards and you can do each one.
Oh. And if you wish for a rabbit
in a hat with a bat,
you at least know there's rabbits in this show. We have not seen a 6'4 Impala.
No.
However, this is why you need to read Miles's newsletter. Because you're not 30 plus and you don't know what we're doing. But these are lyrics to a song that's pretty good.
There was I was watching minor league baseball in Trenton once. I was seeing the Trenton Thunder, and that song was the walk-up music for one guy. And he wasn't very tall, and I felt bad for him.
Aww.
Oh. Were you at the lowest point of your life? Just wondering why you watched minor league baseball in Trenton, New Jersey.
Minor league baseball is really fun and cheap. And it's cool.
The ballpark is
right
on
the Delaware River. Yeah, you get like dollar dogs, and like you can sit close enough so that the players can hear the things you say to them. And you get the chance, like maybe one of these guys will play in the major leagues one day. Who knows?
I would love to make a batter on minor league baseball, like swing and miss on a strike because I went like, good hot dog, like real loud behind him. Can you believe these are a dollar? Right as the pitch comes in. I wish, like, a song like I Wish is weird to walk up because it's like it's aspirative and it's not him saying that he has anything, you know?
No.
It's like you'd want someone to come out and their song would be like, I'm the shit. Look at me. Don't worry. I'm the cleanup hitter. And I'm going to do great. Instead, he's like, well, I have hopes and dreams, so I guess here goes.
All right, everyone. If you had one wish, what would you wish for?
And if you had a walk-up song to the plate.
Okay. Everybody, if you had a walk-up song, what would it be?
Yeah.
I'm asking you.
Me? It would probably be the theme to Tetsuo the Bullet Man by Nine Inch Nails, just because it's so ominous and loud. Miles?
I would do Let's Just Kiss and Say Goodbye by the Manhattans.
That sounds very sleepy. Am I wrong?
It's a very slow song about the end of a relationship, and I would want people to feel like, okay, it's over after this.
Like meaning they can go home, like relief? Or does it feel like you're going to hit a grand slam?
I'm going to end things. Yeah.
Do you think they'd gather all that in the time that you have to walk up to the plate?
I would walk really slowly.
Okay. Got it.
It's a long song, and I would want the whole thing to play.
All right. Jackie, what would your walk up to the plate music be?
I don't know. Probably something by Nicki Minaj, but I don't know which one. Maybe Shanghai.
I'm not familiar.
I don't know.
Hang on. Let me see if I can find the part of Tetsuo the Bullet Man theme that I want. It's not that. No, it's not that either. Where is it?
Listener, it's also your entrance music as well.
Here we go.
Foils of the controls of this.
We can't hear what you're saying, Miles.
What if someone was stepping up to the plate with a bat, and this is what was blaring over this over the speakers?
Very scary.
It's great.
I don't know.
And then you strike out.
And they play the music again. That would be so good. That or the Sanford and Son theme song. That one of those. Anyway,
if you didn't hear what I was saying because of that
fucking
song, please write in and tell us what your entrance music would be.
We told them already. I mean, well, I thought that's what Jackie was suggesting, but then it turned out she was just looking at me.
No, I wanted to ask a different thing. What was the other thing I wanted to ask?
If
you had one wish.
Yeah.
If you had one flip, what would you flap?
Yeah. Don't you hate when you should have flapped, but you flipped? Ugh. I always get those two mixed up. So if for listeners of the podcast, like, part of you is saying, I don't know what's going on. And some of that is our fault. Yeah. We're not explaining this linearly at all. But also, that's kind of just how the show is. It doesn't really explain a lot.
You
got
to watch it. Hopefully, you're not listening to us if you didn't watch it, maybe. Or
I think people are.
Okay, maybe you're one of those people that like listens to us while you drive or while you work or while you're falling asleep.
Yeah, we had somebody say they worked a graveyard shift, which I always just picture a graveyard, which is
me too.
Crazy. I have a song you should listen to when you're working in a graveyard. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's called Tetsuo the Bullet Man.
Oh boy.
I forgot that I can play stuff off YouTube on this podcast. It's gonna be a whole soundboard next week.
You can, but should you?
Yes. Episode one is they go on this adventure, the two of them being Poppyka, whose name, by the way, kinda sounds like Poppycock.
Poppy.
It does.
Poppy.
Especially the way they say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poppyka.
Poppyka.
Because you look at it and think, oh, Poppyka, because you think of that crimson...
I thought it was paprika for the first, like, two episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why else would those letters be there? You know, you just feel, you know, your brain is like, R. But, nope, it's Poppyka. It does sound like, they call her Poppy sometimes, which is really funny. Like, she's Big Poppy.
Yeah.
And so Poppyka,
Papita.
So Poppyka
Papita Frita.
And Kokona go, there's like some pipe out in the woods. I don't remember why Kokona goes there, but she somehow like falls into the pipe or looks into the pipe and it is actually like another dimension and she ends up in some snow-covered land. And she's just sort of there all alone being like, this is impossible because she, you know, just basically teleported. It was not snowing in the... place she's from, and she's suddenly there and she starts goofing around with Poppyka and also this robot named Boo-chan.
Boo. Boobot.
And the robot mostly just makes noises. He doesn't really like speak full sentences too often.
He speaks emojis. He has like little symbols that he puts out.
Yeah. His voice actor is Jonathan Joestar.
No way.
Yes. His voice actor is Jonathan Joestar, and he is also Meow from High Score Girl. So that's like the guy friend in High Score Girl. So I don't know. I mean, I guess you got to do all kinds of stuff when you're a voice actor. And it's probably an easy check that they're like, just do a bunch of beeps and boops.
Mm-hmm.
This weird robot thing, Poppyka, this like manic pixie dream girl from another dimension, and Kokona all go into this snow land where it doesn't seem to be cold.
Yeah, and the snow is sweet.
The snow apparently tastes real good. Poppyka's wearing some kind of like plug suit.
She's wearing like a panties under a unitard, and you can see that, and then stockings.
Yeah, it's like...
I thought it was like a wetsuit to go with like the surfboard.
It has a lot kind of cut. It has a lot of cutouts.
It does have a lot of cutouts. It's true. Not like a real wetsuit. It's a little weird because he's... I don't know how old she is supposed to be, quote unquote, but you know, the Kokona at least is a middle school girl. And so if we assume they're similar in ages, this is sort of weird. But it's anime, I don't know. The show takes on a bunch of different visual styles. Not drastically different in terms of character design, but color palettes really change quite a bit. Sometimes it'll feel a little bit more traditional of a color palette, and sometimes it's like, nope, we are cyan, magenta, yellow now. Sometimes their hair colors flip, which is very distracting and confusing. Yeah. I did not like when they would do that.
It's like their hair colors are, they swap, and then it's like kind of pastel-y.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like when they go Super Saiyan when they get that ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, and JoJo would do that too sometimes, but JoJo's character designs are so distinctive that when Josuke is fighting that guy in the fucking pylon or whatever, and the sky turns orange or purple, you're like, I know exactly who Josuke is. He's the one with the grilled skirt steak on his head. Anyway. but, you know, again, this one is... Honestly, I think this show's plot, though, is still not as opaque as FLCL or Furikuri. I can kind of follow... I haven't seen all of the show, obviously, mm-hmm. but FLCL, I talked about it, but that's one of those shows where I start out and I'm like, I get it. I follow it entirely. It is obvious what's happening. And then by the end, I'm like, nope, I don't know. Yeah. Couldn't tell anyone what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in this snow thing. And basically what happens is a giant monster or a giant like group of monsters become awakened and they have to fight to defeat these monsters. Do we see that they have gems in their hands or whatever?
No.
So I think it's just by coincidence they get the gem, because what Papiko's trying to do is get Kanako's glasses back.
Yeah, at one point. But why? Yeah, Coconut for some reason like falls or something in the snow forest and her glasses fall off.
Yeah. And I think they only get the gem because Coconut goes Super Saiyan, for lack of a better word, and blows a bunch of stuff up.
Yeah, right? Which is cool.
Okay.
Also, I noticed when they're playing in the forest, it has that goofy kind of like woodwind and xylophone sound, which makes me think of Azumanga Daioh. And I love it. Also, this whole episode in my head, I couldn't for some reason stop saying to myself, I'm going to flip them off.
Hmm.
I don't know, just Seven Nation Army, but instead of fight, I kept saying flip. The show is fun, but it did feel like you got the vibe right away. Like, okay, this show is not going to make a lot of sense. And it's just about fights that are resolved like really quickly.
Yeah.
It's not like a JoJo serial or like a DBZ serial where it's like a long fight. And you're like, but if I this, then that. And oh my God, it really, you know, now the one hero is like out of commission for the rest of the fight. So who can step in? It's really just sort of like, sure, there's ups and downs, but like, okay, everything gets wrapped up. There's a super cool overdrive transformation thing that happens.
Where they look like a butterfly and a firefly.
Yeah. And you just know that they're going to overpower and destroy the bad guy. And often you're like, I don't know how you engaged this mode. I don't know what the mechanic is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just feelings? Is it just like... Because it seems like it's just the power of bro-ness.
Yeah, because they love each other and they work really well together. And that's why they work really well.
Yeah, it reminded me of Gurren Lagann that way, a trigger anime, which is where if you just are good bros with your friend and you stand up for each other, then your robot gets powerful.
I'm all about ladies being bros, but they're more than bros. They love each other.
They're something.
They're in love.
Mm.
And Poppy keeps sniffing Coco's hair and stuff, keeps sniffing all around her and touching her thighs. And what is going on, ladies? I'm on to you. But they, and Poppy was like, I love, like, I die, ski.
What's up, Miles?
Do you think it's just baiting or do you think they do it later?
I'm guessing it's baiting. I don't think
because
they,
they're children.
Well, that's actually a good point. I guess I don't want to see any like however else you'd confirm it. I think it's
unmistakably romantic or sexual between them. Like, I don't think that you can say it's anything else. I don't think you can pretend it's anything else. Where now, like, whether they'll actually like make out, I don't know. I don't think they will. I think because it kind of reminds me of if Kokona was a boy, like this would kind of be the same thing, you know? And like with like a manic pixie dream girl that comes in and like changes his life and is like all over him for kind of no reason. Like, we've seen this before.
And it cuts out all the destructive aspects of someone like this in your life, in real life.
Right. But, you know, even with those, you don't, like, necessarily see them together in the end, you know? I think it's kind of like that. Because I also don't know why this, why Kokona is like really following Papika, and I don't know why Papika was so enamored with her like right from the beginning.
Yeah, it's weird. It seems like they work really well together. Like, I don't remember the beginning, but if this was anything where in the beginning they like located Kokona and went to tell Papika, yeah, like to seek her out.
Because Papika says that like she's not able to go to Pure Illusion. Pure Illusion is like the Wonderland world that they go to.
Even though it changes every time.
She's not able to go there on her own, but I guess Kokona is the first person that she's met that's been able to take her there or
maybe
something like that.
It makes you wonder if she had someone who died or left or something, right? Like, what's the deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she went with someone at the facility who was like, all right, now you got to go find your own partner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired. I have all this paperwork to catch up on.
They broke up and now she needs a new girlfriend.
The voice of Kokona did a bunch of random small characters in Stardust Crusaders, like female student B and child. So unfortunately, I don't have any cool, recognizable JoJo characters for you. It looks like she didn't really do any big parts until a little bit later. A bunch of the voice actors in this show are relatively new.
Listen.
What's up?
There are no small parts, Mark. There are only small actors.
What?
It's like a saying in the theater.
Oh, I thought you twisted it. That really is the saying? That's very silly.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, everybody. I guess if your character doesn't have a name, though, if your character's name is Child or, like, audience member, that's a small part.
Now, listen, you gotta make that part big, okay?
Yeah.
Your director will love it.
Imagine you're like, I have to rest early. I have a big part tomorrow. What's the part? Is it a lead role? Ooh, well, almost. My name is audience member 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big deal.
Well, I think it's also, just to argue that could be a big part, if there are like 50 audience members, like if there's somebody that's like if there are parts for like audience members like 5 through 50 or whatever, then your part is kind of big.
No. That is not true.
You got number 4. Maybe you have like a line.
It's a ranking.
Count the lines, count the screen time, and count the figures on your check. Some parts are just small.
But it might be big in relation to another part, you know?
Maybe. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
But you don't even have a name.
Well.
You gotta have a name.
What if it's an indie film and there are no names?
It's still not a big part.
All right, fine.
Listen. No small parts.
You just ignored everything I said.
Why do Kokona's thighs, what does she have in there?
She has like some kind of
light up
crystal shard that lets her transform or something, and it's in her upper inner thigh. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I did not like it there. I wish it were further down. Because we do see at least at one point a character goes to like reach for it, and I think that evil desert witch goes to reach for it, and I'm pretty sure she like overreaches at one point, and I was like, what the fuck? Guys,
stop molesting this girl.
And that evil witch herself had a really weird set of clothes on. I don't know if I would describe
She was entirely naked, and she just has like weird skin that covers her private parts and no nipples.
I didn't know how to feel. Anyway, so episode 1 is they're in this snow thing, and they you know, battle a bunch of snow monsters, and cool transformation and attacks happen, and it turns out that Kokona is not just your average middle school girl. She's got some kind of powers she was unaware of. Are those powers then explained? No, they are not. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are later in the series. We didn't watch that. Then I think we get a brief look at Flip Flap, the organization. And again, it's like briefly explained that, yeah, we want these crystals. Things seem to go back to normal, and Papika joins as a transfer student, an exchange student. She shows up in the class the next day or something, and she's like, oh, I'm an exchange student, but she's wearing a ridiculous outfit.
She looks like it's Halloween and you want to dress up as Princess Peach, but you know, on Halloween, all the costumes have to be sexy. So she looks like a sexy Princess Peach.
But
Halloween
it wasn't that
costume.
Sexy. It was a little bit more like gothic Lolita, like magical princess.
It was a very short skirt.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's just there and she's supposed to be like blending in as a student, but she's just really annoying and clingy to Kokona. And they're hanging out after school, and I think Kokona is annoyed at her for understandable reasons.
Also, you get to see all the other, like, a couple of other girls in the school. There is the blonde friend, Yayaka, and there's a green-haired girl who is an art senpai.
Iroha.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And it seems like they all also love Kokona, especially the green-haired senpai. So I wrote down, is this Yuri? Because it seemed like this is like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of ladies love ladies.
This is a woman loving women show.
Yeah.
It seemed like.
But it's not an all-girl school, right? There's boys.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Like, they're not important. I think at one point I see a boy with like a line and I'm like, wait, are there going to be boys in this?
Shut up. Yeah, in episode two, I think that Kokona's annoyed at Papika.
Yeah.
I don't remember the context, but I know they're near a statue.
They
which
get mad
is,
because Kokona's like pet.
Right.
Hamster rabbit sushi thing gets sucked up by a weird vacuum and
well,
I don't know.
It's they're
she
near
blames
a,
Poppy.
They're near a statue of the thinker. It's like a famous statue. I don't know what it's doing in this place. Apparently this is somewhat based on Fukushima, a place in Japan. They make references
to that.
Oh, it
looks so European though.
Yeah, it's true. It's a lot of Western influence. It's hard to tell where even the main world, the quote-unquote, like, real-world side of things is based. It feels a little bit sci-fi-ish.
I think I wrote down that it looked like France or something. It looks, like, European for sure.
Yeah. But they all speak Japanese.
Yeah.
And so there's a statue of the thinker, but then it raises up, and there's, like, some kind of, like, vacuum thing underneath it, and it sucks in Kokona's pet, whose name is Oekskul.
What a name.
Which I just Googled to see what would come up. And Jakob Johann von Uexkul was a Baltic German biologist who worked in fields of muscular physiology, cybernetics, and stuff. He lived between 1860s and 1940s. Okay. But anyway, Uexkul, is this little green weird hamster thing, gets sucked in like a vacuum. And then in their efforts to kind
of... Is that how you say it?
Uexkul?
They say it like
you read.
It's like a three-syllable thing when they say it.
Well, some of that's just Japanese. I don't know. I mean, it's Miles. It is U E X K U with an umlaut L L. Oh, they have a. There's an IPA in standard German of how to pronounce this. I always do that. I click the pronunciation, and then it just takes me to a guide of how to pronounce IPA. I don't care about that. What do you got?
He was a Baltic German biologist.
I just read that.
Oh, you already said this. Uexkul.
Ah, Uexkul is the historic German
anyway,
name of...
Anyway, see you guys later.
Uexkul, a town in Latvia. Well, okay. I think it's cool when people don't just make up sci-fi names. They do take them from real places. But also when this name popped up in the subtitles, I was like, is this Elon Musk's child? Is that why this name is familiar? And it's not. It's not X-Delta-12 or whatever. Anyway. They get sucked. So the Uexkul gets sucked into a vacuum cleaner and they chase after Uexkul. And they end up in like a... using like acid or LSD is like really tropey and non-descriptive, but it feels like an Alice in Wonderland on drugs kind
of
thing.
It's very psychedelic and they're all... partially bunnies.
They're all, yeah, with big teeth.
Big teeth, big ears, and bushy tails.
Yeah, I was already like, I'm a little uncomfortable at the sexualness, and these are middle schoolers, and then they grew ears and tails, and I was like, I am further uncomfortable, but whatever, this show looks really cool. And they're bunnies who have teeth.
This is the...
And they really want to gnaw on stuff, is what I was going to say. They have an urge to bite shit. Go ahead.
This is the episode where I became impatient because I was like, okay, this is not going in a direction. This is a total left turn from what it was before. And I want to know what's happening now.
Yeah. Because you start to get the vibe like, okay, is this just the idea is that it's aesthetics over, you know, plot or character growth or anything like that? Because if so, that's fine. But Yeah, I think we're used to TV being a serial format rather than here's a bunch of vignettes of like they go here, then they go here. You know, even in something like The X-Files, which was before this current era of prestige TV where every episode is a cliffhanger and it's one thing onto the next, like Breaking Bad and every TV show after that. You know, X-Files would be like a lot of monster of the week, but then there'd be these episodes that are lore and they're building to a bigger plot. And so far we haven't really just hit that yet. We've just seen these sort of vignette-y episodes, but it is really cool to see them try different art styles. And I will say that episode 6 in particular was, way more emotional than I expected to see in this show. Which I'm guessing is one of the reasons why we were told to watch it. Anyway, so they're in this like Alice in Wonderland-y world. They really want to gnaw on stuff. And I don't really remember what happens except for the fact that there's a character at one point called the Green Knight who is...
Doesn't her hamster bunny like turn into a big buff dude? And I wrote down, why are there men in this?
A big, handsome, masculine green bunny, but apparently officially called the Green Knight. Her pet has transformed into like a big, masculine guy with like a cloak.
And he talks now.
He talks, and his voice actor is Kira from the PlayStation JoJo games, or Zeppeli in the Lost Phantom Blood JoJo movie. So nothing we've watched, none of the TV anime.
Oh, that's another good duo, Kira and the hand.
Yeah.
That's a good duo.
Kira or Kosaku and his wife. Who suspects him but is also very horny for this new man.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, also Hidaka, the I want to say non-binary person who works in Flip Flap HQ, is the voice of Formaggio, the shrinking stand guy in JoJo Part 5. And the Salt voice actor, who's Salt, Mr. Salt, whatever, the leader of Flip Flap, had a very familiar voice, and it turns out that he is both Bruford in Part 1, one of the dead knights that are resurrected, and Tiziano, the person of color stand user who is half of the most likely gay duo Tiziano and Squalo, who has the stand called Talking Head that makes you tell lies. And fucking Narancia gets that stand, and also it looks like he's blowing a guy at one point. Fun times. JoJo, come back. JoJo, come back. Anyway.
And then, I don't know. There's a part where when they're done fighting whatever they're fighting. And then after that, Papika takes Kokona to her HQ to meet all her friends. And she introduces her as her partner. And I'm like, this is definitely... a lesbian couple.
yeah,
right,
but yes. You're not
correct,
not necessarily.
No, it is,
but probably
it's confirmed.
And again, we expect them to explain
when she introduced
a lot.
Her as her partner, it was confirmed.
They don't really explain a ton. But yeah, you just know that they're after these crystals that will let them have their wishes granted. And then, you know, it's not that there's no explanation, it's that it's being hidden from us. But yeah. As Miles explained, like, it's a little bit weird because the first episode, you're like, what the fuck is going on? But maybe they didn't explain stuff so we get into the action. And then episode 2 is like even more what? And they still don't really tell you too much. We should probably kind of get more summary oriented from here on out, by the way. I realized we're going a little too detailed and we did 4 epis. Episode 3 is titled Pure XLR, which is weird. XLR is like a type of cable or connector, rather, for power and audio and stuff. And episode 3 is, if 1 was some kind of snow thing, I couldn't think of what it's based on, and 2 is sort of Alice in Wonderland, psychedelic. 3 is like if Mad Max was beaten by Sailor Moon, because it is these like buff kind of BDSM looking dudes out in the desert harassing a small town. A little bit more like Fist of the North Star now that I think about it, because it also has these like technique names pop up, which I love.
Yeah.
I love that shit. And I really enjoyed that aspect of this where they're like, Kokona, divine fist wind or whatever.
Yeah.
But we also get to see for the first time their transformation sequences, which are really dope. I just dropped my phone on my foot and it hurt. They're kind of like the Sailor Moon crystal transformations, except they're even more elaborate and they go on pretty long. I was actually like, okay, we can get going now. But they do look really good. And yeah.
Hey, you okay?
I'm good, yeah. They transform and they fight in the desert. Well, Paprika shows up by herself, and it turns out Kokona has on some kind of helmet that like brainwashes her. So she's leading all the BDSM terrorist bad people in this wasteland. But once Paprika disables the helmet just by head bashing it, apparently, after they fight, the real villain shows up, who has a really weird name that starts with W that I'm going to pull up for you in a second.
I didn't get her name.
Well, I mean, I just found it online on the internet. This thing, this really weird device called Velvichia. And I Googled that. It is a plant in Namibia, a country in southern Africa. So it's totally possible that that is like a desert-related term, because they're in the desert, and Velvichia is a very ugly plant that grows in, I'm thinking, the desert. Anyway, Kokona, the Velvichia is this lady with dark skin and like a merkin covering her vagina. And her skin seems to attack people like tentacles. And she's very evil. And then at one point, Paprika is like too fatigued and hungry. Mm-hmm. Because this episode started with her traveling in the desert, being hungry and thirsty, and then she passes out and she wakes up being trapped by some people that are almost like the Jawas or something in Star Wars. They mean her no harm, but anyway. So she's hungry and she passes out when she should be saving Kokona from this Velvichia. And then she does show up later to fight her, because Velvichia at one point is talking to Kokona, I don't remember what, but she's like, oh, well, I'll have to take your shard. And that's when she touches her inner thigh.
Yeah.
She's like incapacitated, kind of, and she goes to grope her. And then she gets shot. And it turns out that Paprika is no longer fatigued because she ate part of a giant sweet potato.
Yeah.
That the Jawas were rotisserieing. It's a little weird because she kind of ate it while it was still on the spit, which I don't think is really a good thing to do. I think you should wait until people take it. I mean, well, time was of the essence. Anyway.
And then they transform into Sailor Moon-like transformations.
Yeah.
Because it does the whole like dance with the funky background, but it's like more pervy because like in Sailor Moon, you like look up the skirt and stuff. But in this, it's like when you look up the skirt, it has like the outline of like their like pubic area and stuff.
Your mouth kept making a P shape and it's like go for it. Yeah, it's weird. It's not just like, oh, a little bit of their butt and like
it's
their
like
skirt.
you get like, a full like outline of a butt crack with a little bit of like the front part. Like,
yeah, it was like oh, again, we said middle school, right?
That's a lot of detail.
What the fuck is this shit? But the transformation's cool, you just have to ignore that. And
I think this show is trying to appeal to both like queer women and straight men at the same time, and I think it does it okay. Like, if you like ladies, we got lots of ladies, we got pervy upshots, we got like caressing,
we've got
of the
laser
thighs.
Laser cannons that blow shit up and look really cool, which does happen,
and lots
here
of colors. Maybe, you know, if you're a fan of art and you're like Ace, you'll also like this.
True. It's got something for everybody except those of us who are like, I need a plot. I need to know what's happening.
There's kind of a plot. It's better that it's better than some shows that really don't have a plot.
Yeah, like, and it doesn't take itself that seriously. It's not quite as, I don't want to say bad, it's not quite as in that territory as the Trigger shows like Kill la Kill, where you feel like they're looking at the camera and winking at you because they're so like, fuck it. But there's definitely tones of the show that you're kind of like, I don't think they really care that much about the plot. Miles, you were going to say something.
By this episode, I was like, okay, fine. I don't care. Like, it's cool that they're just jumping around and doing something different and crazy every episode.
Yeah, if their relationship develops, and it feels like it already has gotten to a very good place, considering at no point has Kokona really stopped and been like, tell me what's going on. So it's surprising that they're as nice to each other at this point. Anyway, they both transform and they kind of got Thai, not quite combine. But they do their official Henshin transformation sequence, and they fire this giant laser cannon at Welwitschia, who, by the way, has turned into a giant horrible spider at this point.
Yeah, scary.
I don't remember when she did this, but it happened. It has this really cool explosion sequence where at one point we see the planet from up in the sky, and there's just a little light specter ding. But even then, she's still not dead because they're celebrating and being like, I'm sorry I hit you, and blah, blah, blah. But then the spider wakes up and we see another faction show up. And it turns out that these three other girls who are there to steal the crystals, I guess, they're led by Yayaka, the stylish blonde and pink-haired friend from school. And this, to me, was an example of like the JoJo character design issue, where if someone looks cool, you know they're a vital character.
Yeah.
You know, like if her hair was all one color and like a straight part down the middle, you might be really shocked to see them show up and be like, I am also competing for the gems. But in this case, I was like, yeah, I thought you might get involved. You looked too unique.
Really?
Oh, I mean, you looked unique.
Hmm.
Let me get rid of that intensifier for Miles.
Thank you. I liked your hair.
Yeah. I was like, this girl's cool. I was a little bummed that she was a bad girl.
We don't know who's bad and who's not. We don't
who's
really know.
Bad?
We don't know anybody's intentions.
I mean, they're wearing darker colors, and the two of them, like,
they could be nice.
They seem really numb, and they don't really have feelings. And
yeah, they are robots.
Yeah, they look cool, though. The two of them look pretty cool. There's a bunch of pervy shots of them, of course, as well. And then they go into a portal, because they're like, sorry, we're taking the gem thing, and they go into a portal that Poppyka briefly sticks her head into, and she sees their base. And it includes something that we see in the intro, which are these hooded figures that kind of have pointy tops. So I don't want to 100% say they look
When I saw them in the intro, I was like, this is the KKK.
They look kind of clannish.
Yeah. And they're white. They're wearing all white.
No, some of them are wearing black.
Well,
yeah.
I don't like it.
It's not the clan necessarily, but it's a clan.
It
reminds you a little bit of like, huh, it's the kind of thing where an American animation studio, I'd be like, guys, you know better.
Maybe they're the Flu Flux Flan.
Hmm.
Because flappers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And they're flap, also flux. Like a soft, like congealed, dehydrated milk
mm-hmm.
dessert.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Flan.
Mm-hmm.
Then episode 6 feels like a complete departure. And so we're skipping ahead 2 episodes. We don't know what happens in between. Sorry. Episode 6 is this thing where they find a gate after they're competing with this other faction for a certain crystal. And the gate leads them into like the memories that we kind of find out are the art student Iroha that we mentioned, who has green hair and seems to be into Kokona as well. And it's...
May I ask a question?
Yes.
So she's not... They call her senpai. So I thought she might have been a teacher. Am I wrong?
Senpai is just someone older than you, so she might have been a grade higher.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe in high school and they're in middle school, but I don't know why they'd share a building.
Isn't it kind of like mentor, though, like someone that you can learn from?
Could be, but senpai you would definitely use for someone who's above you in class, even if you didn't really know them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
If you were just year 3 and they're year 4, they would be your senpai.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Yeah. It is also a rigid hierarchy. And not everyone deserves respect until they give it and earn it.
That's true. Well, wait a minute. I disagree. I think there's like a base level of respect everybody deserves. You should be nice to everybody.
Yeah, but senpai, it's like, well, these people are older than you, so they deserve that term.
All right. Well, whatever.
I'm saying you can be nice to everybody, but like
until you're older than people.
Until you show me like why you're better than me in some way, or I'm gonna call you some bitch, and then maybe I'll give you Mr. or Mrs. or whatever you want, but until then I'm like, who the fuck are you? Get out of my deli. So much like where my brain is, they're in this sort of other dimension of Iroha's memories, it seems, where she's like, it looks like Kokona to me though. She's like even younger, and she's just going to her grandma's slash aunt's place. And so it's just a very slice of life-ish kind of thing, where she keeps going over to her grandma's house and she's frustrated that the art she draws, which is weird, because it uses an interesting exaggerative style and a lot of crayons that are different colors. She's like, my parents said to draw normal. And the grandma's like, I was an art teacher and I think these drawings are great.
She's not, I don't think they're related.
I think they are.
Really? So the subtitle calls her auntie, like not grandma.
Don't they call her grandma at one point?
No. In Japanese, she's calling her obachan.
Right, which just means like an old lady that you're familiar with.
Right. And the subtitles call her auntie. So I think this is just a nice lady in their neighborhood who is her friend.
Okay. Well, I think I had read, because I needed to read some summaries of these episodes, and it is her grandmother, but it seems like, because when things get tough in the show, in this like side plot where like the girl doesn't want to go back to her parents' house, she wants to stay out with this grandma lady. Whenever there's like stress, we see Kokona or Papika go to this room in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they find the other one. Papika finds Kokona, or Kokona finds Papika, drawing on the ground. And she's like, switch places with Iro. And she's like, but Iro is Iro.
Yeah.
It seems like there's two parallel lines that are kind of different plots. So in one, she's an aunt. In one, she's a grandma.
But think?
But the aunt might be a friend, like not related. Like, you're correct. And then it's revealed that they're kind of experiencing two different versions of someone's actual memories. The artist senpai named Iroha, they kind of merge. And it's very sad because it's not just does it seem like maybe her parents are abusive or something. And there's a really cool scene where you see them fighting and it's like a very exaggerated perspective. Like you feel very small looking up at them fighting. But the grandma then starts to lose her memories.
Well, like, she has like dementia or Alzheimer's.
And it's like pretty heartbreaking watching
it's sad.
And then
It's like she takes it very hard because she's a young kid and she doesn't know what's going on. She's like, you know, what do you mean you don't know who I am?
Right
It's sad.
I imagine for a child to have that happen for the first time
and not know that it's happening. Like nobody warns you.
Am I not important?
Scary.
Yeah, you just see her go to her house one more time. She's not answering the door. Her mailbox, I noticed, her mail slot was stuffed full of letters. And her parents are like, what are you doing here? And then she wakes up in a hospital. I don't know why she was there. I don't know if she fell while running away from her parents.
No, she did. She ran away, she falls, and then she ends up in the hospital.
Okay. And then we see her granny or whoever in the hospital, and she confuses her with a student first. She confuses her painting with one of her students and then doesn't remember who the girl is, Iroha. And then she runs away again, feeling terrible. And then Papika and Kokona somehow come out of this realm of like memories and they're in school and they're like, are these the memories of that girl, Iroha, that we go to school with? And there was this whole subplot in these sequence of memories about how the little girl wants to wear nail polish because the grandma wears nail polish. And then when they go up to the roof to meet the art girl and they're like, maybe we should ask her if she's this girl, if she has these memories. They just see her wearing the same color nail polish.
Yeah, well, it's in before this, before they go into the memories, they ask her about whatever, something with nail polish. This is like in the beginning of the episode. And she said, I don't wear nail polish because I don't deserve it or something like that.
That was in the beginning?
It was in the beginning. That was before that was, and I was like, that's a weird perspective to have on nail polish. And then when they get into the memories, but, and nail polish is a thing. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, she uses it in her art though.
Yeah, she uses it in her art, but she doesn't wear it.
Wait, like uses the actual nail polish.
She uses nail polish material in her painting. Yeah, she uses nail polish to paint.
Interesting.
That's why every time they visit, Papika's like, it smells in here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Papika hates the smell. So nail polish.
She has some like emotional ties to nail polish, but then it seems like at the end she's gotten over her aversion to nail polish because it, I guess, reminds her of, I don't know. I think they were able to change what happened or change her memories or something because at the end, like when they go and they tell grandma like, I'm Iro, and the grandma's like, oh, Iro. and like, you know, and like she remembers her. I think that that didn't happen originally, maybe, and that's why she like feels like she doesn't deserve to wear nail polish because the grandma told her to do to remind her who she is, and I don't know.
Yeah,
something like that.
They found some earlier memory where the grandma somehow, I guess it was the beginning of dementia or something, because I don't know why else a grandmother would say this, where she was like, if I ever forget who you are, just mm-hmm. tell me who you are. Tell me your name. And she yeah. promises it. And so then instead of running away from her in the hospital, she goes there and is like, I'm Kokona.
No, the, I'm Ito.
I'm Ito. And the grandmother's like, oh, Ito. And it was like, yeah, but if you've known someone with Alzheimer's before, dementia, like...
That doesn't work.
The next day, they will do that again. Like, yeah. you will have to do this every day for your... But I guess it's
and
supposed to be...
And that might not even work. Telling your name still might not work.
Right.
Saying that you're their, like, daughter or granddaughter also might not work. They will forget that they even had, like, kids.
Right.
Period.
So this is a very, like... And I mean, I don't know. Maybe the show wasn't implying that in this person's life, they changed the past's... And, like, the grandmother permanently remembers her or something? You know, maybe it's just, like, here's a happy memory that we gave Ito now. Like, yeah. now Ito has at least one memory as a young girl of her grandmother recognizing her.
Mm-hmm.
Probably before things got even worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alzheimer's pretty bad.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, so it has that kind of happy ending. That part of me was just, like, that's a little too neatly wrapped up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've noticed that with me, but I don't like when complicated emotional or mental issues are just neatly wrapped up and mm-hmm. thrown in a bag, and you're like, yep, solved it because willpower. But it was a very pretty episode, very emotional. And I'm open to the idea that they're not suggesting they permanently solved Alzheimer's. That was a lot of words.
Yeah.
What did we think of the show? I liked it. I just told you.
It was good. I was intrigued. I was annoyed at first. I kind of want to know what happens, but I probably won't find out.
I like things about...
But that's not a knock. I hardly ever watch any of these shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like things about it, but not enough to keep watching. Like, it didn't hook me. I like the art style.
I want to watch to
I
know.
I think the characters are cool. I kind of want to know what happens, but I don't really, like, not enough, you know?
I want to know what's happening, which might even just be me reading the fan wiki or something.
Yeah, I think I would
rather
do that.
I just want to know what's happening.
The show hasn't really gotten me to be like, oh, man, I wonder, like, I want to know the secrets. Like, the one thing I do want to know that we haven't really mentioned here is... Kokona keeps seeing a dream or whatever of like a young woman with long dark hair, say, like on a boat, like late at night,
right.
Say,
oh yeah,
Okaeri, which means welcome home.
Yeah, it's kind of haunting.
Yeah,
maybe that's explained in episode 5.
I want to know what that's about.
We should watch it. Chad said episode 5 is a spooky one.
Okay,
and
maybe.
No, I love those spooky, scary skeletons.
I would watch the ones in between, maybe. But
okay.
I don't know.
It is nice that it's only 13 eps.
I do love that.
The other thing I want to know is about the Salt Bay guy.
The Salt Bay.
Salt Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, just to know what's up with that.
Salty man.
I read a small spoiler, perhaps, about him. Because Wikipedia was just like, here it is, Mark, writing the first fucking sentence about this thing. And I was like, why? Yeah, this show was good. I like the opening and closing songs. The opening, it's like, it feels like, okay, of course, this is an anime opening. This is exactly what it would sound like. But it has that drum part in the background that is either sort of dubstep or like drum and bass or whatever is in between, something step. And I very much enjoy that sort of beat. And then the outro is this sort of jaunty song that accompanies... really cool animations in the credit sequence. I really like these. They look a little bit retro. They have a bit of a classic, not quite Disney feeling to them. Jackie, how would you describe the outro credits? Like, it feels a little bit more like an illustrated Alice in Wonderland,
yeah,
or something.
Like a fairy tale.
Yeah. And the outro song is nice, but what's weird is the chorus I did not expect is just... two female vocals going flip, flap, flip, flap. like in that breathy, very enunciated way. Flip, flap, flip, flap.
Mm-hmm.
Flip, flap. You're like, whoa, okay. I almost forgot the name of this show, but it turns out it was
you
flip,
doing that
flap.
Should be the outro to this podcast.
Flip, podcast. I honestly kind of wonder if this show would have done better and had a second season and stuff if it was not called Flip Flappers. Because I heard that name before. Someone else brought it up as a potential suggestion on our Patreon. And I opted. It sounded cool, but I opted for the other option. I don't remember what it was. It may have been a Ghibli movie. It just seemed cool by description. But the name, even, I think my brain was like, what the fuck is Flip Flappers? You know?
Yeah,
I don't know what
else
like
you
would call
be,
this show.
It sounds like a Cartoon Network show, like Uncle Grandpa or something.
Uncle Grandpa?
That's one of them.
Are you thinking of like Perfect Hair Forever, the Adult Swim?
There is one called like Uncle Grandpa though. There is a show on Cartoon Network called like I think that's what it's something weird like
there
that.
Is
right there is.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you were referencing Uncle Grandfather, a character from a racist character from.
We should watch Perfect Hair Forever.
No, we shouldn't.
Just the one episode, the good one. Just the one good one.
Jackie.
Just the first
there
one.
There is no good one.
The first one is so good.
We were just the right age
Mark,
to watch that.
It's still good.
Those shows, those like garbage shows that Adult Swim would put out, they were like, wow, I can't believe this is on TV. But then when you watch them now, you're like, this is just a shit post. This is just like dumb stuff thrown
it's
together.
It's funny.
They have some good moments. I'll give you that.
Funny.
Space Ghost trying to stand up and saying out loud, I might should sit down is pretty funny.
But Space Ghost had good moments. I think
Perfect Hair Forever, there's a Space Ghost cameo when he says that.
Perfect Hair Forever, I think, is super funny still. It's funny.
We're going to do a live stream where we watch it. Jackie's face watching Perfect Hair Forever as a 30-plus-year-old woman.
Is it a little bit racist? It might be a little bit racist.
Oh, it's got that in there. Miles, did you...
The song I remember. I've never seen the show.
The song is great.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's clearly just the animators are like, well, we have access to a library of different cells and cartoons and stuff, and we need some content to fill. I think what I liked about it is it was an April Fool's joke initially. I don't remember what it preempted, but it was supposed to be like, I think Squidbillies season 3 or something
like that. No, it was before that.
I don't know if that's true. It was supposed to be the debut of something, and instead they just played this stupid made-up mashup, cut 'em up.
It was probably supposed to be Aqua Teen or something. Maybe. It was around that time.
Yeah, it's very dumb and does not... It's worth a look, but I'm not podcasting about it. Anyway, I don't remember how we got here. It's my fault. Flip Flappers does sound like it's the kind of thing like that is a kid's show. Not like a beautifully drawn, animated, and perhaps lesbian, middle schooler, sexualized TV anime. I feel like this is one of those animes that should have like an 8-word title with like punctuation marks that don't really fit instead of Flip Flappers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, give it a watch. This is certainly a diamond in the rough.
Should be like Papi and Coco do Pure Illusion.
Papi y yo vamos por la playa.
Anyway.
Thanks for listening, folks. Again, you can... If you have any thoughts on Flip Flappers or other animes that are very... Well, if you have recommendations for anime or thoughts on Flip Flappers, you can write to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com or just follow us on Twitter or Twitch at JJBpod. And again, we have a Patreon... Which is also, guess what? It's JJB Pod. Find us there. And until next episode, who knows what it'll be on? Have a great week.
Flip, flap, flip, flap, flip.
Flip, flap, everybody.
Flip, flap, flip, flap, flip, flap.